Today on Movie Wireless, we review Focus and The Lazarus Effect. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And ESD as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly list of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Good evening.
Hello.
This is unusual. Recording in the evening again. I guess we've been doing a lot of day ones.
Yeah. We usually try to catch up on the weekends. Yeah. And this is a weekday.
Although I think last time we recorded, I was pretty tired. I think it came, well, at least I heard it on my podcast. I was like, oh, this is, so I had an espresso this evening.
Oh, dear. Oh.
I'm going to be like wired all night now.
Wow, the things we do for a podcast.
Maybe you'll get all of the podcasts out, like all of them that we record.
Poor guy, don't pressure him.
No, I'm not.
Well, no, I didn't go to bed until late last night and then had to be up early and work's just been like, bleh. So, yeah, I came home this evening with, like, low energy, and it seems to have worked. I'll probably crash at 10, which is what I need to do, but...
Well, you are talking awfully fast. I'll just tell you no.
Yeah, you are. I'm telling you,
we just bought one of those fancy Nespresso coffee makers.
Oh. Is it like $999?
No.
Not far off.
You don't need to tell me. Yeah, yeah. Close enough, right? Yeah.
Well, I've seen those. Rashmi bought for me because she got fed up of... me.
For the last 3 years, every time we go into Crate and Barrel or Solatab or any kitchen shop which has them, Joe goes through the same routine. I mean, it's like the same routine. I was just like, done. Like, I was like,
I want it.
No, it's the same routine. Like, you go there, you try a little bit, you go, this is delicious. Oh, look how pretty the pods are.
Wait, you get a sample?
Yes.
Yeah, they always have like some little guy in an apron who's like, hello, I'm there from the Nespresso company, try my coffee. And
it's true.
But here's the thing. I have this fundamental objection to single serve anything, like single serve coffee machines, because I always do the math in my head. I'm like, well, that's five cups of coffee. And blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of money to spend on coffee. But I mean, how much coffee do you really drink? And...
yeah.
I drink at most one cup a day. I'm like, well, yeah, I can spend 85 cents on a cup of coffee. When it's a good cup of coffee, when it's a robust one. But
and you pay always, more than that at
Starbucks.
I don't buy coffee. Correct. I normally drink it from like the fountain at work, you know, that kind of rancid,
nasty,
brown liquid.
Coffee pot that's,
with the orange candle.
Yeah.
Yes, we all have it.
Yeah. So anyway, I just got sick of it. So we went in for the final time.
And tried the coffee.
Again,
coffee
the same routine started, and I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm done. I just said, excuse me, can I have the red one? And Joe's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm buying the coffee maker.
And you did.
And I did.
I'm loving it.
Sometimes you have to do that. Yes.
And I'm having espresso in the evening.
Oh dear.
Yeah, good luck getting
the caffeine effect.
At 2 a.m., you're going to regret it.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, we have coffee and Ambien. That's my way of getting through.
You're not a rock star yet.
Okay, we have two films to talk about today, Focus and The Lazarus Effect. Where should we start?
Focus.
All right. I agree. So this is the intro for Focus. A con artist takes on an inexperienced apprentice in this crime, and I'm putting in inverted commas, comedy. This is directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Recker, and written by both of them as well. And it stars Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Rodrigo Santoro, and a few others. So, Yazdi, did this maintain your focus?
So, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, I wrote down in my notes that this is going to be a film whose entire purpose is playing who's conning whom. And I was right. I mean, that's pretty much the whole movie. Trying to figure out who's conning whom. And I think sometimes you want to see good-looking people do clever things on the movie screen. I think that's the definition of cinema in a way, or at least the definition of entertainment. And by those standards, I think this movie is a huge success. I loved it.
Loved it?
I loved it.
Really?
Wow. Loved it. I didn't just like it. I loved it.
Wow.
And Joe. For many reasons.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was sat there watching this movie and I was trying to, I had my critic hat on and I was like, is this a good film? And I ultimately came to the conclusion that it wasn't a particularly good film, but I would be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it, because I really enjoyed, it was a fun movie. It was a fun movie. And I think it had just enough, for me at least, in terms of tricks and deceits and sleight of hand and misdirection, you know, to maintain my interest and much more than that.
So Focus, the issue with the movie was it didn't actually have any. It was so tonally inconsistent for me. I think it was going for that Ocean's vibe, mm-hmm. but it didn't manage to achieve it. And I did think it was a complete waste of time, but it wasn't very good. Although I think it had some really good, clever, choreographed moments in that, in the kind of the robbery scenes, which I loved watching and they were really fun. But other than that, I don't, just didn't enjoy. I was kind of bored. I was bored by this movie.
I wasn't bored at all. I mean,
I think, well, I have a theory.
Which is something to do with my personality. I can see it coming.
I think, you know, maybe the presence of Margot Robbie on screen contributed to Yazdi and I enjoying it a bit more than Rashmi.
I think they, so we talk about this all the time about, we even talked about this most recently on 50 Shades of Grey. Either two actors have chemistry or they don't.
Yeah.
These two have amazing chemistry.
Agree.
And they just look so good on the screen together.
Yes.
And Margot Robbie is...
She's beautiful.
Not just that. I think she's a bona fide star. Don't you think? I mean, this at the heels of, you know, The Wolf of Wall Street.
It's too samey for me to say that she's a star, because it felt like a facet of that other character that we already saw in Wolf of Wall Street. So I can't say she's a star, but I think she plays that one role quite well.
But she's not an embarrassment. Like, I was embarrassed for Jamie Dornan in 50 Shades. I wasn't embarrassed for her. Go on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think she's one note, but she's note perfect. And correct, she gets cast for that reason because, you know, she's eye candy, but she's more than that. There's more to her. And, you know, she gets away with it, basically.
Yeah. I think she's a vamp, and that's a good thing, right? There's always a place in movie, I think, for the vamp, and there's a femme fatale. She's not quite the femme fatale. She's not quite the slutty, whorey type of woman either, but there's a vamp, which is a really powerful, good-looking woman who gets the guy in a way.
I think she's a 24-year-old Australian actress. And, you know, there must be millions of 24-year-old Australian actresses and millions of 24-year-old British actresses and French actresses. But I think the reason why she's in Hollywood is because of her physicality. I mean, she's so, you know, exceptionally, the camera just loves her. But more than that, I think she carries herself well. And I think, I think she has a, she could do a good femme fatale. She's coming out in two other movies this year, one of which is called Z for Zachariah. And, you know, she plays, I've read that book, and I'm surprised that she got cast for that, because that's completely against type. So I think we'll get to find out if right. she's just one note, if she just gets hired right. to be the woman.
And is this
who
the one where she famously dyed her hair black for correct. The role? And
correct,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we'll find out more about her. I just like that, you know, this movie is very slick. Every scene is glitz. Like, every shot is shiny. And I kind of miss those kind of movies. It's kind of reminiscent of the Ocean's, you know, the Ocean's 11, 12, mm-hmm. 13. It reminded me of a movie called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, you know, from the 80s, of, you know, this kind of cat and mouse game, you know, who is deceiving whom. I don't know. It kind of made me...
So I think where it fell down for me, and I can see why you guys like it, and I agree with everything you're saying. I think for me, the story was just all over the place. I couldn't tell whether this was Margot Robbie's story, Will Smith's story, or was it just a series of scene after scene after scene strung together? Because I found myself not really rooting for anyone, and I didn't find myself rooting for them. And then I kind of thought, well, is this a romance? No, it's not really a romance, because if it is, then it's not very good. But I've just come out really not sure what I watched other than a caper. And those choreographed scenes, I think, were absolutely brilliant. But I just never got vested. And so as a result of not being invested in the characters, I just was bored. I was like, when is this going to be over?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I was very vested because I was trying to, I kept thinking, well, you know, Will Smith is this, you know, great con artist who's kind of taking this, you know, novice under his wing and he's going to teach her, but maybe she's the one who's conning him. And so I was always trying to figure out, you know, what cards is the movie hiding? And the movie has a couple
of
cards.
Or are we being conned?
Are we being conned? Yeah. And I really like that the movie has some really good scenes. There's a great scene which is set during the Super Bowl. And, you know, I thought that that's played, you know, gradually and very scarily escalating sense of dread in that movie, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of what is put at stake. And so I really like that. And besides, you know, I've been saying this as long as we've been doing podcasts. I mean, I think the world of Will Smith, I mean, I think he's a very underappreciated actor. In my mind, when I think of a star, I think of Will Smith. I mean, he needs to be on movie screens entertaining us. And he ruled the July 4th weekend for like a whole decade, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of fallen on the wayside. And this is such a good return to form for him. This is the Will Smith we want to see. So I was just happy to see him back in the saddle because people have kind of written off on him. And I'm again, this is another movie I wish they would have released at least over a long weekend instead of dumping it, you know, late February.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd movie because it has that big summer feel to it. And maybe it's just because, you know, when I see Will Smith, that's what it goes for. But, you know, it's a very, very slickly produced movie. And I think, you know, the look and feel, it feels expensive.
Yes.
It's kind of a weird thing.
It's got a high production value.
Yeah,
it's very, you know, it's got this beautiful saturated look. Everything's like, you know, it's not soft focus, but everything's low depth of field and everything like focuses and almost lingers on their faces. And, you know, both of them just look terrific together. So in terms of, you know, a visual movie, it feels like, you know, we had that one that came out last week, Kingsman Secret Service.
Right,
it feels like these are big summer movies. I mean, hopefully that means we've got a terrific summer ahead of us. You know, if the studios are kicking this stuff out now, and not holding it back for a bigger weekend, I think this is great.
So two things for me. The first is just your reaction like around Will Smith and Margot Robbie, which you've both said. For me, this is where the PR stuff, the PR machine beyond the movie about Will Smith has completely ruined the image. Because all I keep thinking is Jada's husband and, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith, who's his wife, I keep thinking, oh my God, you know, they have an open marriage, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking all of this stuff
they
in my head. She's probably,
marriage.
Well, okay. So is the rumor.
Okay.
Ooh. And then, you know, he's Jaden's dad and Willow's whip my hair dad. And so it completely broke that illusion for me in terms of seeing the chemistry. Oh. And then the other thing is the tonal stuff. I can't get over the tonal stuff. So Yassi, that same scene you mentioned in the ballpark, it's a great scene, but it goes on forever.
It's
and
brilliant.
Then. But then,
because it goes on forever because it's escalating to higher
know,
and higher
but it's
stakes.
Like, okay, I get it. Something's going to happen at the end of the scene, so get to it already. And then, I don't know if you guys noticed, there's this really weird scene towards the end about the henchman. And we follow the henchman to the pub, and we watch him eat his dinner, and we watch him get in the car. And that, to me, is more of a Guy Ritchie type thing than a movie than should be in this movie. It totally didn't fit for me.
Hmm. I saw it as a device which was very effective. So I was wondering too, like, wait a minute, this whole movie has been about Will Smith and Margot Robbie, and now suddenly why am I following this other character out of nowhere? But actually it's a very good device to connect two different pieces, because what that henchman ultimately lands up doing is very connected to their story.
It
jarred. But then when I realized what it was doing, I almost appreciated it.
Yeah, I just thought it doesn't fit with everything else that's here in this movie.
Right.
So again, for me, I just couldn't get over the inconsistency in the tone. Okay, anything else?
There's one other thing I want to say, my political rant, where, you know, with these Oscars, there's been a lot of talk about how, you know, the nominations were unjust, you know, in terms of it seems like the Academy voters are not really paying attention to race, and women of color are only ever getting roles, you know, where they play the maid or where they play, you know, somebody's beaten down, you know, wife or whatever. And in light of all that, I think Will Smith again stands as a wonderful anomaly because his race is completely irrelevant.
Yes.
Right? In this movie.
He's always done that really well.
Yeah, it's always been that. So if anybody's complaining, you know, that Hollywood is not colorblind. I mean, I offer Will Smith. I mean, in this movie, this could have been any character. And I'm great that Will Smith is hired. Now, maybe it's entirely driven by the economics of it. He's still internationally a very bankable star. But I like that he's hired for a role which has nothing to do, which has no explanation. I mean, you know, this is an interracial thing, but nobody even talks about it, and they should not. You know, we are in 2015, and that's what makes me happy.
Yeah. Okay, let's wind it up. So, Yazdi, you go first.
So there was another movie which came out a few years ago by the director of Michael Clayton, and it was a movie called Duplicity, which had Clive Owen and Julia Roberts. And it was a very similar movie about two spies who are trying to con each other. And I loved that movie. Tony Gilroy made it, and it never made, you know, it was never appreciated much. And I'm afraid Focus is exactly like that movie. It's about really bankable, gorgeous stars doing their magic on the screen. And yes, the story is preposterous. Yes, it has big holes, but it's such a good ride. And I hope this movie gets the attention it deserves. You know, this is the kind of movie I would recommend to anyone. If you want to have a fun time for 2 hours, go watch it. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
I will. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. I mean, like Yazdi, I enjoyed its trickety tricksterishness and its double crosses. I mean, I think, you know, it got a little indulgent. I think it started to wallow in all of its own cleverness and self-satisfied. You know, there was definitely a kind of a self-satisfied, you know, feel to the way that they delivered some of the tricks. But you know what? They got me.
Yeah.
And, you know, on more than one occasion, I was like, wow, that scene was really cleverly done. So, yeah, for sheer entertainment value alone, this gets an 8 out of 10 for me. Is it a good film? Probably not. Is it one that I really enjoyed? It's an 8 out of 10.
Wow, 2 8s.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that too, actually.
Yeah, so see, overall, as a result of the lack of focus, I feel robbed of my time.
Oh.
So, 5 out of 10.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I was really bored. I could not connect with those characters at all. I agree, those choreographed scenes of those crowds and how they go through and rob the crowds, genius, just genius.
But it was more than that. I think it was the way that the scenes ultimately, where they began and where they ended. And I was genuinely surprised.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I was too.
In a couple of other scenes in terms of what that played out. And it was very smartly done. And, you know, I think its biggest failing in my mind was that it was going for this big kind of Ocean's heisty type finale. And that fell a little short, but I mean, I'd already had my money's worth by then.
Yeah.
I was feeling satisfied in my seat.
I'm in the process of writing up a little blog piece on this particular topic, which is that for whatever reason, I think each one of us are wired to resonate with certain filmmakers. Some directors...
Chris Nolan.
So, you know, Chris Nolan can make, you know, Bugs Bunny and it'll be... You know, and you still love
I'll
it.
I'll give it 10.
You love it because there's something about his sensibility, the way he constructs movies, his voice that resonates for you.
And Bugs Bunny would be miserable though, in it. He'd be dark and brooding and depressed.
That's the Bugs Bunny I want to see. Okay,
but, you know, another example is like Bennett Miller. He did... Moneyball, he did Capote, and he did Foxcatcher. And these are all very well-regarded movies, but every one of them turned me off completely. So I think there's some the works of some directors that
Absolutely.
You automatically warm to and some that you don't. Like you with Deepa Mehta, for example. Or, you know, whoever.
Woody Allen. Tarantino,
So this is the same director who... I mean, after I saw the movie, I was like, why did I like it so much? Who made this movie? And it's made by the directors of Crazy Stupid Love. Remember that movie with everybody, Ryan Gosling and Julianne Moore and Steve Carell and Emma Stone?
I hated it.
And then I Love You, Philip Morris was the other movie.
Which I did like.
You know,
Bad Santa.
So I can see, yes, I was almost pre-programmed to like this movie because there's something about these filmmakers, it's a group, it's two people who do it, which somehow resonates for me.
Yeah.
And I love that there's something within me which involuntarily responds. So not to make too much of it, let's move on to the Lazarus effect.
Which Yazdi hid away from.
Yes, I did not hide away from it.
I can't make the screening tonight because I'm really busy. Is this the horror movie?
No.
Yes, Yazdi, it is. This was the exact conversation.
No. I said I didn't even realize this is a horror movie because it is Mark Duplass and Olivia Wilde. They won't be in a horror movie.
You hadn't seen the trailer at all.
Okay, hold my heart and hope to die, whatever. Cross my heart and hope to die. I still haven't seen the trailer for it.
And then I write back.
He won't even see the trailer.
I said,
he's
too but Yazdi, this is the one where they kill themselves and come back to life. Oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that. Right, so. Okay, so this is the Lazarus effect.
This is the
take
Lazarus
effect. Take it away, Yazdi.
So the Lazarus effect is the first full-length feature from director David Gelb. And it stars Olivia Wilde, Mark Duplass, Sarah Bolger, Evan Peters, Donald Glover, and Ray Wise in what appears to be a contemporary take on Flatliners, that film from 25 years ago about a group of medical students who happen upon a method to bring back the dead to life. Only this film appears more interested in the horror elements. I did not see this movie. This movie's running, when I wrote the introduction, it was running at a 13% on the Tomato Meter. So tell me that all the other reviewers were wrong.
Rush okay, me. So let me start by saying I am never working in a lab underground that has no cell service, okay? If there's an office and I work in it and there's no cell service, I'm not working in that office.
Especially when your research involves extending life to death.
Correct. Okay, so I'm not sure if this is a long short story or a short long story because it seems a little unfinished and so one note. It's not super scary, Yazdi, but the idea and the concept are way better than the execution, and what comes across is more silly than disturbing overall.
Not worth somebody's time?
No.
Okay.
Sure. I didn't know this going into the movie, but this is the same person who directed one of my favorite documentaries. Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Yeah.
Oh,
the guy that directed this movie.
No, wait a minute. Cannot compute. That doesn't make any sense. The guy who made Jiro Dreams of Sushi made this horror film?
Yes.
No.
Well, that's the reason why. This has not done very well.
This is mind-blowing to me because, you know, Jiro Dreams of Sushi, 99% Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
The Lazarus Effect, 13%. So clearly, there appears to be a little bit of a difference in skill set required between documentary and narrative horror. And I agree with Rashmi. This is not an effective movie. I think Olivia Wilde does her best she's working it here. She's like, I mean, Mark Duplass, you know, he kind of showed up and did his Mark Duplass thing, but Olivia Wilde really bust her ass to try and make something of this. And the big issue with this movie is that, there's very little in the way of content and story. I think I was hoping for a much deeper exploration of this kind of crossing over to death and coming back to life. You know, even Flatliners, which isn't a movie that I love.
But I love that movie.
But I like some of the themes that it explores, and it's a genuinely frightening prospect. This movie doesn't go there at all. It just kind of, you know, reanimates the people zombie style and they have black eyes and suddenly they become psychotic. So, you know, it's just filled with kind of, you know, really bad pseudoscience. And for a horror movie, it commits the cardinal sin of not being, not even slightly scary. And I think they, he resisted the temptation for the kind of the cheap scares, but instead, we didn't get any scares. There's no sense of dread. Nothing builds up. The story just lays itself out very linearly. It's just a disappointment overall.
I mean, it actually feels, Yazdi, to me, like someone actually forgot to shoot some scenes because things just showed up and then didn't go anywhere. Mm. And again, to me, at one point, it seemed so tonally inconsistent because there was one scene and I wrote down in my notes, "I love Lucy." And so... And it went from like, "I love Lucy" to a super serious horror. And it did try to do the tight camera angles and the you know, following things on cameras in a building and, you know, no cell phone reception. And it even had the kind of the young, annoying young adult type character that you want to die. But it was just silly. It wasn't even good horror. It was just silly. And not in a good way.
In many ways, it felt... It's hard because there's clearly something I bestow upon it by having been directed by a first-time director. Mm-hmm. But it felt like he made many of the kind of errors that Wally Pfister did last year in Transcendence. Mm-hmm. It's a movie which has on paper some very good themes to explore, but they're kind of handled in a ham-fisted way, and the writing isn't terribly good here. And, you know, Transcendence is a movie that actually worked for me. You know, you were saying that directors you align with.
Yes, yeah.
You know, Wally Pfister, I think he's grown up in the Chris Nolan school of, mm-hmm. you know, this isn't the Transcendence podcast. But, you know, that kind of worked for me. This one, having the same kind of clunk to it, didn't work at all.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a lost opportunity. Yes. Like, because this particular theme
yes.
of, you know, passing... you know, crossing over to the other side and then coming back is so rich with possibilities and explorations and, you know, so to just then, you know, turn it around and make it like, well, you've come back and now you're a cow, you know, that seems like a wasted opportunity.
And with Mark Duplass and Olivia Wilde, I was so hopeful. I was thinking, wow, you know, Mark Duplass seems to have been working so incredibly hard mm-hmm. over the last few years. He's been in everything, right? We're seeing him all the time. And, you know, he was in one of my favorite films of this last year, which was The One I Love. Mm. And he does that sci-fi thing so well. He was in Safety Not Guaranteed. Oh, I was so excited to see this because I don't love horror. Well, I do secretly, but I don't. But I was thinking, wow, Mark Duplass does horror. This will be really interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, so disappointing.
I think I was kind of excited by seeing him on the cast list simply because he seems to take on kind of interesting yeah. projects, right? You know, yeah. he does these things that are a little off kilter, but they always have this extra layer to them, and I always end
they're
up
smart.
Thinking about them yeah. a little bit.
So there must have... Go on, please. There must have been something on paper which clearly must have looked very impressive for Olivia Wilde and
that's
Mark Duplass
to think.
Sign up for it. So, like, it's... Yeah, why?
It's so weird. That's why I think... I honestly believe that someone forgot to shoot some of the film.
Or yeah, maybe it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the other thing. You know, first-time director, people take risks, you know, but I always think there's a production element which can kind of interfere with the lack of confidence that an inexperienced director might have in his vision. Or, you know, you're dealing for the first time with, you know, millions of dollars of other people's money. So, you know, I always,
yeah.
you know, we saw Project Greenlight a few years ago on HBO, Ben Affleck, and, you know, first-time directors have a really hard time
yeah.
when they have, you know, budgets to play
yeah.
with.
Yeah. I mean, the science speak was good. I kept listening at the science speak and it was fairly...
Oh, no.
You I know, mean, it was competent.
So, I mean, you know, my... Not that I'm a PhD neuroscientist or anything, but I work in the field of brain research and, you know, it was just, you know, pseudo-babble. I mean, it didn't really hang together, and it's not the way that people speak in labs. And so that kind of thing is always a little irritating when it's a field that you
but
know.
But it worked, right?
Okay,
I
so
mean, it's the stuff that you know. Really irritates us otherwise if it doesn't, but it was okay.
Not that we reanimate dead corpses in our yeah. labs at work.
Yeah. All right, Joe, score this.
Just a big disappointment. I mean, I think... I can see what they were going for, but they didn't get there. And I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. It wasn't a horrible waste of time, but it just fell short of the mark on so many points.
Yeah, overall, I just wasn't affected by this movie. And you want to be affected by a horror movie if you've made the decision to go and be frightened. Frankly, it's not worth the price of the ticket, but not because it's awful, like you said, Joe, but just because it seems rather light and unfinished. I mean... It's just got no heft. It's like a paper bag. So for that reason, I think I'm going to give it about a 4 out of 10. It's not even average, I think.
Yeah, they took what could have been a great premise and somehow forgot to write about it.
Yeah.
You know.
It became about everything else.
Yeah, they suggested it maybe, but...
Yeah.
Like, it's been a quarter century since Flatliners. And granted, that was never a huge critical success, but I think somebody can make a really nice remake of
it. I do too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought maybe this was going to be it.
Yeah.
I forgot to do my focus trick. I was going to do my focus trick on Yazdi. So, Yazdi,
yes.
Before we started podcasting, I wrote down a word on a piece of paper.
Okay.
I'm going to make you say that word.
Potato. Okay, you have to
answer every question I can without thinking as quickly as you can. Mm-hmm. 1 plus 1.
2.
2 plus 2.
4.
4 plus 4.
8.
8 plus 8.
16.
Name a vegetable.
Potato. What? Onion? What is
carrot.
It? Oh, a carrot would have not, never
90% occur. Of the world says carrot, Yazdi.
Really? I'm unusual.
Really? He primed himself with potato.
With potato, yeah. It was so odd that I just
I am no Will
said
Smith.
Potato. Really? 90% says carrot?
It's crazy, yeah. For some reason, 90% of the world
wow.
says carrot.
When somebody suddenly tells me vegetable, carrot never, it's not even in the general hemisphere.
Really?
Onions, potatoes,
radishes. Fruit, you would have said banana.
Yes.
Clearly, Yazdi's an outlier.
I am an outlier.
But in listeners, try that on anyone, you'll blow their mind.
Okay. You should have tried it on Rashmi.
I tried it on Rashmi a few months ago.
I thought it worked.
And did it work on me?
You wouldn't believe it if I did it on Rashmi.
That's true.
Did it work on me?
It did work on
did
you.
Did I say carrot?
You weren't carrot.
But honestly, even before saying potato, I was thinking onion or celery or something. But carrot, anyway. Moving on.
On that note, I think we should end this podcast.
What are we going to say? Too many movies, too little time.
No, you preempted me. Mail at moviewallers.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, facebook.com/moviewallers as well. Don't forget to interact with us in any which way you can. And we have a wrangle from our last podcast.
We do. We have a 50 Shades of Grey wrangle that is currently ongoing.
Come on, all you defenders of 50 Shades of Grey, speak up.
Yes.
Don't let your movie be trampled upon by the likes of us.
So, yeah, hit us up at Wrangle.com, RANGL.com. Thank you very much to the guys over at Wrangle.com for their support of Movie Wallers. And do head over there, not just to talk about movies, debate any topic you wish with the world.
Yeah, there are some good movie topics that people are posting now, which is fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, until our next episode, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.